Thank you. Well, talking about diversity, that was our first question from a woman. One of the reasons I'm really kind of disappointed with the group that's now calling itself KPFA Protectors, and it's had about seven other names, is they hold the majority of the local board, and they don't brook any discussion. We have tried to raise these issues at the board, and I think one of the things you need to do is vote for different board members. There's question time at the board for the public at large, and you can also approach the programs directly. Let them know what you think. Thanks for raising the issue.
Thank you. Adisa Arbant?
Thank you. I agree that climate change and so many other topical interests should be on our KPFA network. And Elizabeth brought in something that really touched my soul, and that is that we don't have an opportunity to not only talk about climate change, but structural racism. And we need to have people who
Rich Stone?
Yeah, hi. When it comes to diversity program, that definitely should entail, and especially the youth, especially within their apprentice program, and maybe even outside of the station, to do more outreach to environmental and like they said, structure, like Adissa said, structural racism, and homeless issues. And to have more direct outreach to the public, to the public,
thank you.
And have more of a discussion at local station boards and maybe CAB meetings.
Amber,
as well.
Gianti.
Yeah, it's great suggestions. I would also like to see, and maybe it's a little off topic, I'd like to see a listener call-in show on these topics. And I would also like to see a woman on the street or a man on the street doing coverage, walking up to people and asking what they think, what they're feeling about what is going on in the world. And climate change is the top of the list, homelessness, many other things. But I'd like to see more interaction with the community, direct interaction with the community. Thank you.
James McFadden.
I've been following climate change since I was in graduate school 40 years ago, and this is existential. And I think it's really imperative for the local station board to put pressure on the general manager to have programming that really addresses this. And the only way to do that is to bring back the programming council. And in addition to the climate change, I think we really need an anti-war, anti-empire slant for our news, and not just some NPR light.
Thank you. Vicente Cruz?
Yes, reminder, we don't know how people actually identify. But it is true that we often on the station and mostly only talk about the problems without solutions. And then when it is actually solution, they just tell us to organize, and not really, again, a definition of what that means. I really would love to see a call-in show, and I would see programs that actually said, well, and how I would personally say it too, is hollering at the current elected fools isn't going to do it. Until we elect people before profit candidates, we won't get anything done, and KPFA should be that mouthpiece to get that done.
Carlos Cohen?
Yes, I just unmuted myself. Well, I think this is the second topic where we are all in agreement. We all want more analysis and progressive analysis of climate crisis. There is work, Rude Awakening up front, they brought this, but we need more. We don't need to be like NPR. But I'm shocked at the level of attack against KPFA protectors. You guys don't know me, you don't know Fred, you don't know Zach, and we've been called corporate, hypocritical, gatekeepers, chaos creators.
Thank you.
This is the dysfunction. This has to stop.
Thank you. A brief second for the station ID. You are listening to KPFA's Listener Candidate Forum, 94.1 KPFA Berkeley, 89.3 KPFB Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF Fresno, and online at kpfa.org. Fred Cook, you have 30 seconds.
So one of the things that's being censored is the development of treatment using existing medications to prevent people getting sick with COVID and to help people get well from COVID. That's being censored now.
Yeah.
If we have the Sunrise Movement calling in from the streets, reporting what young people are doing, that can flow into our programming and inform more about the climate crisis.
Thank you. So right now, do we have anybody on the line? Otherwise, we're going to move on to a question that was submitted online. What are your concrete ideas for building membership? And if any, what successful practice have you had in doing so? And we will start this time with Thomas Lord.
Hi. An interesting fact that many people don't seem to recognize is that among the primary missions of the Pacifica Network and of KPFA is the promotion of local culture, the development of local culture, featuring up and coming artists, encouraging skilled amateurs to learn. The mission statement even encourages writing contests of all things. None of these are visible any longer in KPFA programming. I see those as excellent ways to attract a new audience.
Thank you, Thomas Lord. Pete Ferrugio, you have 30 seconds.
Yeah, well, the most important thing we could and should be doing is involving local communities, people out there in different parts of the Bay Area, in having programs that represent their direct interests, if they're involved in some kind of struggle especially. My only experience in this area is not programming, but would be union and community organizing, where if you present important...
Thank you, Pete Ferrugio. Donna Carter?
My primary experience is in union organizing, and I think that leads me to believe that we need to go to community events, have tables, do a lot more outreach on a one-to-one basis.
Thank you, Donna Carter. Elizabeth Milos?
Yes, my experience is also in union organizing as well as community organizing from a very young age and also in human rights work. And so in doing that, I have vast experience in getting people together and organized in order to for a specific goal. One of the main things that I think we need to do is to bring trust into the process. We need a program council, we need a finance committee, we need reports, and we need accountability. And accountability means actually getting the general manager to answer specific
Thank you,
questions.
Elizabeth Milos. Zach Caldevier.
Yeah, so I mean, I've spent my life as an advocate for progressive causes. I think in doing so, I have definitely inspired and helped motivate people of all kinds to take up the cause. I think young people, not to sound cliche, are our future, whether it's the Sunrise Movement, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's the anti-gun movement. I think we need to go to them, to reach out to them, get into the streets and listen to
Thank
them
you.
And bring them into our station.
Thank you, Zach Caldevier. Don McClay?
I feel that the first step is to decide to do it. We're running for the board, not some emotional state. And as board members, and I've been a board member, we need to sit down and discuss this issue, decide what our policy is going to be, decide what kind of activities we're going to take, and what resources we're going to devote to outreach. I can think of some options. There's YR Media, there's Laney College, there's Berkeley High. But let's let the young people tell us what kind of new programs they want, not tell them.
Thanks. Thanks, Don McClay. Adisa Armand.
Thank you, Don. It was so good to follow you. I really, truly believe that it's important to do community one-on-ones. And if we start by thinking that we as the board can do that, and we trust one another, I keep on hearing a lot of mistrust, that then the possibility exists for us to go forward in a unique way. And I'm going to go back to my idea about that community quilt, because quilts keep everyone together. And so one of the things I would
thank
like
you
to for our youth to be more involved in the
thank
program.
You, Adisa.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thank you, Adisa Armand. Rich Stone.
Yeah, hi. Am I unmuted? Okay.
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, outreach work with San Francisco Green Party Labor Council. Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll start again. I have done a good amount of outreach work with the Labor Council, the San Francisco Green Party, and with the Community Advisory Board, and I believe that through the local station board that we must learn to move forward.
Thank you.
In terms of
thank you, Rich Stone.
Especially with all the other issues that we spoke of previously in other outreach.
Amber Jayanti. You're muted.
Careful. I thought I unmuted. Anyway, I say visibility versus invisibility. We need to become visible, a visible presence in the community. We are an important part of this community. There are a lot of people that resonate with us. You know, I talk to people about the station. They don't even know about the station. They don't even know we exist. Anyway, and I think that I want to see personally some of the shows that are duplicated, to get out of there and to bring in new shows that really represent, what the people want to hear. That's all. We need this new program.
Thank you, Amber Jayanti.
Thank you.
James McFadden.
A member, KPFA member, recently told me that Bay Area already has two NPRs. Why is KPFA trying to be a third? I agree with Don McClay that we need to attract younger, diverse generation that may not have access to KPFA content the way they have in the past. We need to have other ways to access content through podcasts and video and create content issues so that younger adults become the next generation of listeners for radical programming.
Thank you, James McFadden. Vicente Cruz.
Yes, I agree with Don and James as well. How we would do that is, and especially where I feel we're going to be in this pandemic the same way for the next 2 years, having social distance events with things that are trending, such as comedy shows or even movie nights, that would attract, again, listening to young people as well. My experience with that is, through the Oakland Greens event coordinator, where we're able to be, all of our events are sustainable, and we did the first one within 1 year, the second one within two, and the third one within three. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Vicente Cruz. So I want to remind everybody that you're listening to KPFA's Lister Candidate Forum, and you can call in to 510-848-4425 with any of your questions or comments to the candidates. And if we don't have anybody else online right now, I have another question.
No, I'm sorry. I think I didn't have a chance to speak.
Same here.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Nor did I.
Let's see. I'm sorry. I lost. Of course.
Right.
I'm sorry. I have like a lot of... Anyway, we're reminding everybody to call in. So Carlos, you're correct. You are the next person. Carlos Cohan, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Rene. No problem. I think we drifted away. The original question was regarding how do we raise money. And I think personally, and I think the KPFA protectors agree, one of the main functions of a local station board is to reach out to the community and precisely look for ways to raise more money. Personally, I think that we should engage all the progressive nonprofit organizations out there, try to bring their voices into the radio, try to engage with them. Personally, I wrote a 5-page document 2 years ago with ideas to raise money. And that's one of the reasons I'm running for the board. And I know the KPFA protectors agree with this tremendous need to go out to the community and raise money. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos Cohen. We have next Fred Cook. Wait,
am I lost? Did I get lost again? Yes, no.
No,
no, that's correct. Fred Cook.
Okay. We have the possibility of getting the program council going. We have the possibility of having a community advisory board, both of which can hold public meetings. They could be outdoor, socially distanced meetings. We could do it immediately. This gives people who are in various communities, maybe they're not even listeners yet, but they are people we need. They're part of our service area. We need to hear from them. We also can work with existing organizations, unions, churches, community-based organizations to cooperate with them to build listenership among their members. And if they-
Thank you, Fred.
Support people-
Thank you, Fred Cook.
They can become programmers as well. Over.
Fred Dodsworth.
KPFA was founded in the middle of World War II, which was 80 years ago. It was founded on a new medium of the time, which was radio. Radio is not the major voice, the major way that people listen to things these days. And the fact that we are in the 21st century and we are ignoring all these other technologies really, really speaks to the antiquated ideas that we have. We need to adopt podcasts. We need to adopt Zooms. We need to adopt social media. We need to even do television. There are tons of community television stations that will run our shows if we give them product. And we have a full studio to use to do that.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred Dodsworth. We have Red from Oakland. You are live on KPFA. What is your question?
First, I want to thank you all for taking the time to do this and to commit to running our station. I would like the candidates to speak to the removal of Twitwit Radio and Guns and Butter.
Thank you. Pete Ferrugio?
Yeah, I oppose both of those removals, but more importantly, I oppose the process by which the general manager and I guess the program director had no accountability. They just willy-nilly decided they're going to remove programs. They also removed Workweek Radio, radio-based labor-centered program, which is now running on an alternative station, and they refuse to put COVID, race, and democracy on the
Thank
air,
you.
Which is on all the other stations.
Thank you, Pete Ferrugio. Donna Carter?
I am not really too familiar with those programs. I think I did listen to Guns and Butter a few times. I guess it's the process and communication between the program providers and the station manager and the LSB that would be a more appropriate way to parse out some of the issues.
Thank you, Donna Carter. Elizabeth Milos?
Yes, I'd like to say again that we need a program council, but also 70% of the content is created by unpaid staff. And Workweek Radio was one of the only labor channel, labor program, which is only 1.5 hour, was only 1.5 hour per week labor. Okay. And also we desperately need to have some, I lost my train of thought, but go ahead.
Thank you, Elizabeth Milos. Zach Caldvier?
Yeah, so, I don't know all the details about its ratings, but I do know that Guns and Butter had a lot of issues. They ran a lot of on-air conspiracy theories, including a segment on Holocaust denials. And without listener support, I don't have a problem with the show being canceled. And I also, just while I have a couple seconds, I want to just say I have been endorsed by Norman Solomon, Jeff Cohen, and Sonali Kohatkar. and I have an op-ed in Counterpunch, as someone else has mentioned many times. Zach Caldvier, Counterpunch, and you'll see
Zach Caldvier.
All the details. Thanks.
Don McClay?
I don't remember it ever coming up before the board or anyone ever telling us it came up before the board. Not any accusations against the show. If we're accusing it of supporting conspiracy theories, that was never formally brought to our attention. And the process by which this is done, lacking a program committee and the check and balance, has also not been brought up for discussion, and I think it should. I don't think we should look at one show or another show. I think we should look at the process by which things are done.
Thank you. Adisa Armand?
Yes, I'm not aware of the controversy regarding Guns and Butter, but I can share with you that I believe that it's important for host and the programs and the listener station boards and everyone to be involved in how that program is faring. And there needs to be an accountability for the program, the person who's performing the program, and those who are listening on the board to say, this is not working well. How do you think we can make it better? That's exactly what I think.
Thank you. Thank you, Eddie Sarinmond. Rich Stone?
Yes, I do believe that it was very undemocratic the way they got rid of Guns and Butter and Twitwit and Workweek Radio. And as for Guns and Butter, I was the cab moderator of the timekeeper for the 90 plus speakers that actually spoke on behalf as to why this democratic process didn't occur. So yes, there were 90 plus, and of the 90 plus that spoke, only two spoke for the elimination of Guns and Butter, and two of those were KPFA staff members. So yes, the listeners were very concerned about it, and three or four said that they would actually cut off their membership as a result of it. So yes, that.
Thank you, Rich Stone. Amber Jayanti.
Yeah, I'm in favor of dialogues, not monologues, and I think that we need to have conversations about these things. It's very important. And bring our listeners in. I mean, this is who we're representing. We want to hear what they want. Thank you. Very disconcerting.
Thank you.
That stuff happens.
Yeah. Amber Jayanti. Thank you, Amber. James McFadden.
I oppose the method these shows were removed. This is the reason we need to bring back a program council with a voice. Yeah. I think this was an example of top-down corporate structure without listener input. And it's a problem right now with the general manager being protected by the current majority on the local station board, and we need to change that. I'm not against removing shows per se, but we definitely need a process that includes the public.
Thank you, James McFadden. Vicente Cruz?
Yes, I also disagreed with the process of how it was removed, and also personally that Twitwit Radio was an incredible, radical, artistic show that mixed humor and social justice. And if you liked SF Mind Troop, you would have loved Twitwit. And full transparency, actually my theater career started in San Francisco with George Coates Performance Works. And George did some great work, not just with Twitwit. So yes, I oppose the process, and actually we should get that back on. Thank you.
Thank you, Vicente Cruz. Carlos Cohen?
Thank you. I agree. I think it with Don McLean. He said process is important, and we cannot keep programs or remove programs because some of us like them or not. This has to do with ratings, surveys, going out to the community and understanding. So I think, as I understand, some of these programs that were removed, they had very low ratings, very low listenership. I also understand that Guns and Butter interviewed conspiracy theorists. I think you said 45 seconds, René?
Next question. Yeah. Oh, Fred Cook?
Thank you.
I agree that the process was unacceptable. We need a program council. We need clear criteria that include the kinds of things that Carlos was talking about. Beyond that, it's important that we have room to fundamentally disagree. And I think there has to be a way of framing it in the program, but we need to be able to listen to people who are saying things that we think are totally wrong.
Thank you, Fred Cook. Fred Dodsworth?
There has to be room.
Hi, I'm the only person here who's actually been a managing editor, an executive editor, and a reporter. I've sat in editorial meetings, and I have to tell you straight up that these decisions can't be made by a local council. They have to be made by a program director. If we don't like the program director, we have the right to force the program director out or force the manager out. And I want to stop hearing these criticisms about how this one group supposedly is protecting the general manager. This is not productive. If you've got a, you've got an issue, then let's figure out how to get this better.
Thank you, Fred Dodsworth. Thomas Lord?
The failure of process that everyone is talking about falls directly to the KPFA protector faction that dominates the board. It is the assigned duty of the board in the bylaws to have ongoing monitoring and oversight of these kinds of decisions and how they are made. It's the job of the board. So it's disappointing it didn't happen. I think it's worth noting Guns and Butter is said to have, I don't personally know, broadcast some things that absolutely do not, should not be unsafe to broadcast. And that was probably an appropriate
thank
decision.
You.
And Whitlaw is brilliant.
Thank you, Thomas Lord. We have Mary from San Francisco. You are live on KPFA. What is your question?
Thank you. I'm 70 years old, disabled, differently abled female. And what I'd like to find out is why there is no good public affairs programming right now on cannabis, because there's such an intersection between veterans, seniors, disabled, people working with chronic illness. The Signal area, Northern and Central California, this is basically the number one cash crop. This is employing people in growing, manufacturing, distributing, dispensing, adding revenue, some very exciting election candidates are speaking up and legislation on legalization. So I would like to see something, and also more call-in, more interactivity. The Pushing Limits program, the Women's Magazine. I'd like more veteran-friendly programming, more senior-friendly programming, more where it's safe to talk about Jacqueline McGowan running in the recall election. She's a Democrat. She's a cannabis policy advocate who really gets California. So there seems to be a block out or a censorship. And I'd like to open it up on this very fascinating intersectional subject. So what do you have to say on the subject of this? Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Donna Carter, you have 45 seconds.
Okay. The subject of cannabis. At one point, it was a banned illegal substance. It still is in some places. In California, I believe it has become primarily a commercial issue. And although I don't think there's anything wrong having some discussion of cannabis somewhere on the station, I don't believe that we take on business interests per se. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna Carter. Elizabeth Milos?
Yes, hi. I am very aware that we are lacking in much more information regarding cannabis. I also would like to say that that programming also means how far we can reach, and I'd like to commend one of the people, Tom Voorhees, who's a member of the LSB and also a representative of the PNB, who extended the antenna reach by putting the Monterey antenna, which extended the reach to Monterey County, which also provides a more interest in listenership. And cannabis, as you all know, is something that is very, very well perceived among our California listeners. So yes, I would like to put in a plug for Tom Voorhees as well.
Thank you, Elizabeth Milos. Zach Caldvier?
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, the benefits of cannabis and the threat they pose to the pharmaceutical industry and the alcohol industry is pretty well known at this point. But I also think hemp offers an extraordinary opportunity, whether it's paper and all the chemical processes that we could avoid by doing this, including clothes. I mean, this, I think, is a subject really worth talking about more. I think hemp is largely ignored. Yeah, and so I would love to see that more discussed.
Thank you, Zach Caldvier. Don McClay?
It seems that some of these subjects kind of loop around and connect to one another. And Mary, my first thought when I heard you say you want to talk about cannabis was I asked myself, do we have a regular show on health? And I think Fred Dodsworth was making a good point that, you know, managers need to manage, but not without accountability. And a check and balance system could be established by which a program council, it could be a committee of the board, would receive explanations. I would like to know why those programs were canceled, and if there's accusations against them, they should be brought in writing. I would also like to have a feedback loop by which we could say, hey, do we have a show on health? What are we doing for labor? What's our local news? And that's all process. And I think that's where we're closing the circle.
Thank you, Don McClay. Adisa Armand.
Thank you. I wanted to share that there used to be, or there was, a program on health by an African-American doctor whose name I can't recall at the moment. But I think that we need more programs like that. It was informative. It had humor. And it also gave the people opportunities to call in about recommendation, and the doctor gave that to them. And so here again, I agree that process is part and parcel of what we need to do. We need to, what we need to do is to sit down together and talk about what our main concern is. Our main concern, at least I believe, is KPFA. And the existence.
Thank you, Adisa Armand.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll go again.
Rich Stone.
Yes, I believe that it's high time, pun and no pun intended, that we have more discussion on this topic and of cannabis and perhaps even. The good qualities of hemp as well, and this can be brought forth through the through the programming council, and to be a continued effort of what the community advisory board has done, and as a member of the local station board, I would also make sure that that it would be discussed at meetings and as well as programming council meetings. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich Stone. Amber Jayanti?
Yeah, there is a program. There's a show called The Herbal Highway. But they don't talk about hemp or, they talk about herbs, even though marijuana, cannabis, is an herb. Most interesting. I've always been fascinated with that. We are an alternative station, and we have people listening with alternative lifestyles or people that might be interested in doing things differently, and I think that we need to offer these kinds of shows. Also, I want to mention the use of ketamine. Ketamine is a very viable, been proven to be very viable with the use of PTSD and long-term depression and other kinds of things, and I think that these are very important topics to offer to the community.
Thank you, Amber Jayanti.
Thank you. Thank you.
James McFadden?
Yes, cannabis. Interesting subject. This could be a draw for a younger audience. But in fact, I think we need a dialogue on drugs and the war on drugs. And this needs to be more prominent on KPFA. The war on drugs was used to go after youth in the 1960s and 70s, and people of color, especially in the 80s and 90s, and to create a prison industrial complex. So I think we need open dialogue on drugs, addiction, and whether this drug should be criminalized or whether they should be handled just as a health problem.
Thank you, James McFadden. Vicente Cruz?
Yeah, just riding Don McClay and James McFadden wave on that. As someone who broke their back in 2002 and traded cannabis for opioids, I would love to see that subject come up more often. And we'll still piggyback again and think that it does lead to a conversation about the war on drugs, why it is, what other drugs. I will also give a little bit of props because not only do we have health programs already that we could nudge in that direction, but we also have, at least mostly during fund drives, they talk about microdosing with fungus, with mushrooms and things too. So it does come up a little bit, but definitely we can do more and do better. Thanks.
Thank you, Vicente Cruz. Carlos Cohan?
Thank you. Well, going back to the original question, yes, I would agree, not only on a show related or to the topic of cannabis, but like somebody said, the health issues in general. I agree with James McFadden that we should expand it to the war on drugs. I totally agree that we should have a very critical eye on that. But I'm going back to what Don said. It's an issue of process. And I'm going back to what Fred said. It's an issue about an editor and a program director. So to me, the programming has to be done by the editor and the program director. And the LSB can have a subcommittee. And yes, they should be accountable. But the subcommittee is to...
Thank you, Carlos.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos Cohan. Fred Cook?
Do you hear me?
You're muted. Yes.
All right. Cannabis is business. And as business, it has labor relations. So that's a whole nother angle that needs to be brought in. And our process for bringing in topics into our programming, whether it's in a health show or a labor show, we need to get that process worked out better. I agree that having a professional program director is a great idea, but that person needs to be accountable and there need to be committees and community outreach that get us related to our audience and our potential audience.
So, thank you, Fred Cook. Fred Dodsworth?
One of the problems is that this is a radio media. Radio media lives on time slots. And we have 60 minutes in an hour. We have 3 hours of drive time in the morning, 3 hours of drive time in the afternoon. It's 180 minutes each. And we have hundreds and hundreds of people who want their programs put on the air. This is a problem that can resolve by being a 21st century media company. We need podcasts, we need online web stuff, but we can't put cannabis in a drive time slot just because somebody wants it. We need to have a program director that looks at building audiences and building membership. And we should run all these things, but we need to run them on podcasts, we need to run them on the website, we need to do television.
Thank you, Fred Dodsworth. Thomas Lord?
I heard Mary say something that we've all overlooked. We've been falling all over each other to talk about bringing in younger listeners, new demographics that way. The call for senior-friendly programming is very important. I think we used to have more of it than we do. Some spitballing ideas. What about cross-generational dialogue about politics, about opportunities for activism, and certainly to get senior voices on the air and that viewpoint as well. I think that's a great idea. Drugs, counterculture, the politics of it. Yep, more coverage of that. How about a countercultural program that has entertainment and excitement in that way, but also has segments of that very serious kind of news and analysis that people are talking about. We need more of a balance. It's not just an all talk, all news radio station. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Thomas Lord. Pete Ferrugio?
Yeah, the doctor who had an excellent show for years was Dr. Michael Lenoir from Oakland. He was my wife's allergist, and his was an excellent example of what should happen and expand throughout KPFA. He educated, he had people call in, and took on various topics. So the cannabis thing, you'd think a station in the middle of the Bay Area would have more coverage of health-related stuff related to cannabis. And I agree with Fred Dodsworth when he says we've got to expand that kind of focus throughout various media. I think that would pull a lot more people in if we could do more health or oriented coverage.
Thank you. Thank you, Pete Ferrugio. We'll now take Janet from Oakland. You are live on KPFA. What is your question?
Yes, hi. The local station boards and PNB Pacifica National Board meetings are run using Robert's Rules of Order. And one of the reasons dissenting opinions are shut down at the KPFA local station board meetings is because Robert's rules are manipulated much of the time. It's one thing to run as a candidate for the local station board. It's another to be elected and then participate in LSB meetings. So I'm asking, do the candidates have a copy of Robert's Rules of Order? The latest edition is the 12th edition. And what is their experience participating in meetings using Robert's Rules of Order? And one other thing, the KPFA local station board does not allow its meetings to be videoed. And I wanted to know what the candidates think about that.
Thank you, Janet. Elizabeth Milos?
Yes, I'm familiar with Robert's Rules, although I'm not an expert at it. I'm a union member, and I've been to as delegate to the National Convention of CWA twice, and delegate to the my union's convention as well, UPDI. And I'm very familiar with Robert's Rules, and I also am very familiar with the manipulation of Robert's Rules as well. And so, yeah, I'm definitely aware of that. And the other thing is, yes, I would be totally in favor of having the local station board meetings videotaped and archived right now. The KPIX, I'm sorry, the KPIX website, I've noticed that all the other stations have finance committee recordings, program council recordings, monthly recordings. KPFA doesn't. I'm wondering when, I mean, it doesn't.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Two.
Milos.
In 1 year.
Zach Caldvier?
Yeah, so I'm going to have to plead ignorance on Robert's Rules of Order. I'm not familiar with that. I look forward, if elected, to dive in to all this kind of nuance and detail. As far as, I always think sunlight is the greatest disinfectant. So to have everything videoed and, you know, for people to see, I'm always supportive of that. Unless I find out something different, if elected, but yeah, I think that's all I can say right now based on what I know.
Thank you, Zach Caldvier. Don McClay.
God, I've been in a lot of meetings where people abuse Robert's Rules of Order to kind of keep other people from talking or trip them up and stuff like that. And you know, you have to have some kind of rules. I would hardly want to know which edition is current. I'm not in love with it at that level. But there's also other things that you have to pay attention to when you're a board member. We don't fall under the Brown Act. I thought we did at one point, but we don't. That's for boards that are of governmental persuasion, if you wish. And there are other rules that apply to being trustees of a nonprofit, which I think KPFA is a nonprofit, technically. We got to obey the law.
Thank you, Don McClay. Adisa Armand?
Yes, I'm very familiar, not very, I am familiar with Robert's Rules of Order, and I think that it can be used in a very positive and negative way, as has been expressed before. I think that it's, I believe the purpose of the Robert's Rules of Order is to produce order, as the word is implied in the title. And sometimes board meetings can become very chaotic, and reference to rule in quotations can help to alleviate some problems. Not all the time, because there are people who will overspeak on those issues, but definitely there has to be some sense of
thank you.
Open and organization's meetings. And I do look forward to
thank
having
you. Thank you, Adisa Armand. Rich Stone?
Yes, I'm familiar with Robert's Rules as a member of Labor Council, you know, specifically with the manipulation of them, with even currently with the social justice issue of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict that Elizabeth Milos and I partaking in. So yes, I'm at least vaguely familiar, if not more so. And also, when it comes to video and at meetings, I'll refer back to the Guns and Butter meeting where they first in my memory actually implemented that or tried to implement that policy. Myself was personally against it, and. And by principle, I thought it was perfectly fine, for people, to do it. I don't understand, what the problem is. And to this
thank
day,
you,
I
Richard.
Still really don't. Thank you.
Thank you, Rich Stone. Amber Jayanti?
I'm familiar with Robert's Rules. I was on a grand jury and actually quit the grand jury because of Robert's Rules. Because of what was going on, all the blockages that were happening. But I was on there for quite some time. And I definitely think that, videoing is great. People need the visuals. People are not just into listening or reading. And I think it would be a great change. Thank you.
Thank you, Amber Jayanti. James McFadden?
Robert's Rules were invented more than 150 years ago by an Army officer. And they were designed to maintain a power structure. And really, they're not suitable for a lot of situations. They were tried to be used when I was a facilitator for Move to Amend, and we prevented that from happening. I think we would be much better off going to something that doesn't require years of study. If you've looked at a book of Robert Rules, it's really quite complex. I have a copy, I've looked through it, but I favor going to a set of much simpler rules, which can be work fine with people as long as they learn to behave.
Thank you, James McFadden. Vicente Cruz?
Yes, I am familiar with Robert's Rules of Order back when I was with Direct Action to Stop War. I also have seen it be abused often at other meetings. I would rather just be able to be civil and have some common sense in some senses that way. As far as videotaping meetings, I think we should have both. I'm sure there's some privacy. I'm not currently on the board. I think that there are probably some privacy issues that should be in closed door session, but if it's a public meeting, just be transparent. And yes, they can definitely videotape and whatever, put it out to whoever. And it just expands, Just the more content, you got to feed those algorithm gods. So the more people that come in and tape the meeting and put it out, more people know.
Thank you. Thank you, Vicente Cruz. Carlos Cohen?
Thank you. I have to admit, I'm not familiar with Robert's Rules, but I participated in hundreds, if not thousands, of meetings through my career. I think that the main thing is the attitude and the openness. I participated in the public sector part of the LSB meetings in the last few months, and there is a lot of animosity, and that takes a lot of time and energy and frustration. This is what I've been saying. We need to be more open, listen to each other, agree to disagree, and try to move forward with ideas that we can work together on. This, to me, this is crucial. With respect to video, I would agree, except the privacy issues. I
Thank
agree
you.
With invented. Yeah.
Thank you, Carlos Cohen. Frank Cook.
Thank you.
I am very much in favor of videotaping the and archiving the public segments of the meeting, and anything that is not going to be public and videotaped and archived, there needs to be an explicit reason why. For example, a personnel issue or something that has to be held private. That needs to be explained. Beyond that, I'd like to say that process, sociocracy has a good process. It's derived from consensus, but it's not as stringent. There's meeting facilitation, the No Magic Method. There are a lot of other ways. And building in that understanding of we got to listen to and take seriously what the minority is bringing up.
Thank you.
So it's friendly amendments.
Thank you, Fred Cook. Fred Dodsworth.
I was first exposed to Robert's Rules of Order and Student Council 55 years ago. I currently sit on the Savo Island board for low-income housing. I am a board member of BCA, Berkeley Citizens Action, a board member of the Beast Crawl, which was it's a big deal. Generations. I've sat on a lot of boards. In fact, I sit on a board with Donna Carter. Save Alta Bates Hospital. The idea that people are going to treat each other with respect is a wonderful one. Unfortunately, in Berkeley, I have seen that more honored in the neglect and overview than in the actual attempt to create community. That's my point.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred Dodsworth. Thomas Lord.
I'm a bit of a dissenter in that I happen to think Robert's rules are incredibly well designed, whether they're used to suppress debate or to encourage good and healthy discussion, falls on the chair and falls on the degree of comedy among the members of the body. If a majority group wants to shut out the others, they can under these rules, but a chair can really, really discourage that. And also, there's no reason for a body to have a fixed chair. It's a responsibility that can be shared, and it can be shared among both majority and minority groups or factions or tendencies within the larger body. I think really the spirit of comedy needs to return. This is why I think having a non-slate candidate is important. Thank you.
Thank you, Fred Dodsworth.
Thomas Lord.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Did you just speak? I'm so sorry. Thank you, Thomas Lord. Pete Ferrugio.
Yeah.
Pete Ferrugio.
I'm kind of at the end of the line here, and I've actually forgotten what the question was about. So I guess I'll just have to skip this one. Sorry.
Okay. Donna Carter?
I have attended numerous California Nurses Association conventions and familiar with Robert's Rules of Order. I think the intention is to create civility, but the civility has to be in the hearts of the participants. I believe taping the meetings would be a great way to reach out to our community. I've been able to watch a lot of city council meetings and other governmental events on Zoom, and I think it would be great if KPFA's process were open to the public. I think it would bring subscribers in.
Thank you. So we're going to move on to the last question, and this comes from Camilo from Oakland. You are live on KPFA. What is your question?
Not necessarily a question, but speaking as a young person, thank you for having the opportunity. And I'm 30 years old, listening to KPFA from when I was younger, from my parents, and then also, you know, as an adult. The whole time I've been listening to these older folks and older people who've been responding, so I just want to have the opportunity to really say something as a younger person. And so whatever you need to do to grab young folks, figure it out. Social media, podcast, online, you all are very intelligent, so please figure it out and keep this station moving forward. The herbal, then the last thing is like a lot of people when talking about different programs. Speaking again as a young person, the Herbal Highway and the Visionary Activist Show are the two ones that I'm not really focused on. And then also Rising Up with Sonali.
Thank you. Thank you, Camilo. Zach Caldvier.
Yeah, okay, so, you know, I feel like one of the big lies is that the youth today don't care. I mean, no one has more at stake than young people in the world that we are giving them. And I think we've seen that in the Sunrise Movement, we've seen that in the anti-gun, and we've seen that in Black Lives Matter. So rather than trying to tell them...
Thank you.
Am I done? That's 23 seconds.
Yeah, we have everybody has to keep this response very brief. We only have 3 minutes left, so...
Okay, sorry.
Don McClay?
I never thought the youth didn't care. I feel like we need to convince the youth that we care about them.
Well,
and we need to get them to be not involved just in our ideas, but us to get involved in theirs.
That's what I mean.
Really think the rest is just speculation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Don McClay. Adisa Armand?
I believe that youth from underrepresented communities need to be on board, and they've got fantastic ideas. I did a very brief survey, and nobody heard of KPFA. And so I said, well, if I could get you involved, would you? And they said, yes. So it's up to us to do some one-on-ones, to talk to people and say, you are invited.
Thank you. We have 1 minute left. Richard Stone.
I myself have personally reached out to young people to get involved with the KPFA. I'm inspired by the from what I've seen with the Apprentice program, and even my son was briefly involved as Apprentice. So yes, I think
thank
that
you.
That's an LSB member. I'll be
Amber Jayanti.
Bring him on. Bring the kids in. We need them. They're the new blood. They're the future. Gosh. Thank you for calling in, young person,
you.
Young man. I really appreciate you.
James McFadden?
If we want to reach the youth, something that wasn't mentioned at all, student debt. We should be talking about student debt, but also about health care, poverty, housing, homelessness, policing, war. Climate change, of course, is at the top of their list, but also white supremacy and corporate manipulation. This is what the youth want to hear
Thank
about.
You.
If we're not talking about it, it's not going to happen.
Thank you. Vicente Cruz?
Yeah, if they're not here, it's because we have not given them a reason. I do believe that we have not given them a reason. We've actually failed them. I love the Visionary Activist Show, but I can completely see why youth might not. And we should really take that into account when it comes to programming. As far as switching
Thank you.
Podcasts, maybe that is a podcast.
Thank you. We still had Carlos Cohan, Fred Cook, and Fred Dodsworth to hear from.
KPFA has gone social, media that is. Stay connected to all things KPFA by visiting our Facebook and Twitter pages, where you'll be able to get special access to additional news and information from all of your favorite KPFA news and music programs. And make sure to check out KPFA's YouTube channel for never-seen-before musical performances and past KPFA author events. KPFA knows this is your station, and we want you to feel connected to us at all times so we can all continue to stay vigilant as always.
You're listening to 94.1 KPFA and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, 97.5 K248BR in Santa Cruz, 94.3 K232FZ in Monterey, and online worldwide at kpfa.org.